T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We are doing it live today at Twin Peaks in Davie. Usually here on Mondays, but we were off yesterday, so you can catch us in the man cave at Twin Peaks in Davie, University Drive. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. Always enjoy it here every week. And we do 15 minutes of heat every day around this time. Heater, obviously, in the All-Star break, as are the other NBA teams. They'll be in Atlanta Thursday, but we figured for today's 15 minutes of heat, we'd actually look at All-Star weekend in Chicago since we were off yesterday. So we'll head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline, shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Mark Silverman, better known as Sylvie from Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000 in Chicago, is joining us. Waddle and Sylvie, the most popular radio show in all of Chicago, which did a fantastic job, by the way, hosting All-Star Weekend. I was jealous. I wish I was there. And Sylvie is with us now. I would imagine, Sylvie, because when we had Super Bowl weekend and you and Waddle were down here for Super Bowl week, you did a couple of shows out from Radio Row. Miami, all of us here in Miami were pretty proud of the way Miami was represented and the way that we pulled off the Super Bowl. I thought it was a great just a great job by everyone associated. I was just blown away by how well Chicago did with All-Star Weekend. Is that the opinion in Chicago?
Yeah. And it was great to meet you at the Super Bowl, finally, after all these years face-to-face for the first time. I mean, like, we've talked for 15 years, and I know you. And I know you from Twitter, and I know you from your show. But we never met in person, so that was cool. That was bonus number one. And I think you were the first face I saw as I was trying to secure my credential.
That is true.
But yeah, I mean, first of all, you guys do a great job. And like the thing that we say here when we talk about the destinations of going for the Super Bowl is that we think they should limit the pool of candidates on who hosts the Super Bowl, that Miami should be one of three or four of those cities that rotate every 4 years, every 5 years. And you guys pretty much get it then, but you guys do such a good job in the city, believe it or not, like you didn't feel like it was just wall-to-wall people. So I thought it was fantastic. The weather was perfect. And that's the complaint that we get here is as well of a job as Chicago does do. And for the people there who have never been to Chicago, Chicago's a great world-class city. I mean, it's cleaner than New York. It's a little smaller, but when you're on this big of a level, you really can tell. It feels big, but the people are much nicer too. But, you know, we're coming to Chicago in mid-February, and this was the coldest couple of days we had. So when it comes to recruiting again, like a player, I think all those players, if we ever want them to come to the Bulls, they all stepped out of the clubs on Friday night and they said, damn, it's cold. This is why I don't play here. So I think we did a good job. I think people know what Chicago can bring to the table, but, you know, in February, I'd rather be maybe 50 other cities than here.
I had a bunch of people, though, that were in Chicago for the first or second time and just told me they were blown away, A, by the food. You and I know, obviously, how good the food is in Chicago. I guess I got to ask you, because when you were down here for the Super Bowl, you went to Prime 112. And
I did.
Know up in Chicago, you go to Cut, right? Isn't that the name of the place, Cut?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
So how do they compare?
Well, it was very good. So, and my guy at Chicago Cut hooked me up at Prime 112, and I met Miles, and I was with Wilbon, so that helps too.
Yeah.
You know, Wilbon gives them shout-outs on PTI and everything. So it was, I was blown away. And Wilbon was telling us the stories about, like, the heat and the heyday when LeBron first got there. And he was trying to tell us the night we were there, the Wednesday of the Super Bowl. And he was saying that night was like a B on a scale of A through F. That was like a solid B. I mean, You had many of the Chiefs players there. You had everyone from ESPN was there. He said, but as it goes closer to Super Bowl Sunday, and as it gets like for some of these Heat games, there are like A-list celebrities who go there. So I was blown away. I thought the food was outstanding. And as you know, Hawk, I mean, Chicago is like the state capital of the world. I got married at a place called Gibson's in Chicago. If you've been to Chicago, you know about Gibson's. I've made Chicago Cut now my new spot. And it doesn't matter if you still open another steakhouse and it's good, you'll survive here. There's room for everybody. But I thought that Prime 112 was as good as any place I've ever been.
Wow.
Sylvie, Hawk did me wrong, man. You took me to Ditka's. I had the paddle steak. I thought I was doing it with the paddle steak.
I mean, paddle steak at Ditka's, there's no shame in getting some pork chops or paddle steak at Ditka's.
But, Hawk, I didn't get the cut. I didn't go to Cut or Giordano's or these other places.
I took you for deep dish, didn't I?
Was it Giordano's?
Yeah, we went.
What's the name of the steak? I think you
Gibson's. Gibson's.
Yeah, we didn't go to – you cut me, Hawk. You cut me. I didn't go to Gibson's.
Well, I'd have gone to Cut if I had talked to Sylvie. Cut didn't even exist when I was in Chicago.
Right. It's like 7 years old, and you know, Al Michaels gives them shout outs every time they come to Chicago. And Patrick Mahomes was there on Friday right before the All-Star game. So he came in town. And look, I'll set you up. We used to do the show with Coach Ditka. Waddle and I did 5 years with Coach Ditka up until maybe 3 or 4 years ago. So we used to do every show from Ditka's on Thursday. So believe me, I mean, Ditka still gets it done. It's absolutely awesome. I would tell you guys, and Hawk, you know this, but to me, deep dish pizza is great. But when we live here, the people who live in Chicago, when we order pizza, we don't get deep dish pizza. Like, that's more of a tourist thing. I get good thin crust Chicago pizza. That exists too. There's a Chicago style thin crust.
No, he knows. Sylvie and I have the same favorite joint.
Yeah. Yeah, you got a lot. Yeah. We'll teach you, believe me.
That's my first stop every time I go into Chicago is Barnaby's. Oh, yeah. The sand on the bottom.
You were selling me this damn pizza lasagna for years.
No, exactly. Deep dish pizza is uncomparable. But you can't eat it
like you can't eat it.
If you're in the mood to order a pizza, you can't just constantly order in Lou Malnati's.
Yeah, I mean, you're eating like these two big, thick pieces of pizza with all that tomato sauce. It's good like once every few months. But that's not how Chicagoans do it. You know, it's just like anything where when you live in a town, you know the real rules.
It's like stone crab down here in Miami. I mean, you're not having it three times a week unless you're Crowder.
Yeah.
But
you got the NFL money.
But yeah, exactly. No, Sylvie, like you say, I got a place where you can get it for peanuts compared to what you pay
but
for.
But even if you didn't, you'd be eating the stone crab. He's got that NFL pension. You know, Waddle knows about it.
I got a little sack. I got a little sack.
We have Joe's here, and is that weird, too, that I love seafood? I love every seafood. And I think stone crab is good. I'd rather have 10 other things than the cold stone crab, though.
I love stone crab.
I'd rather do a seafood tower for the appetizer. And then I'm about the lobster tail. I'm about crab legs steamed or whatever. But the stone crab, I've always thought, is like kind of like my deep dish pizza of seafood. Is that weird to say?
Yes.
I don't know. I think it's so tasty.
Yes,
now, I love the Joe's mustard. You know, I don't know. There's something about it.
And you can get snow crab and king crab and red lobster.
Right. They put it in every
buffet. Red lobster's not having no stone crab.
Yeah, I mean, you don't see it anywhere. I don't know. I feel like I could eat stone crab every meal, but maybe I couldn't actually.
I have when I was playing.
I know. You know, at
then
his
the radio money started.
At his dorms when he went to UF. They had stone crab in the cafeteria for the students, for the athletes, excuse me. They had stone crab every day.
I had grilled cheese. I mean, come on.
I had Captain Crunch at UF.
Right. Cereal for dinner.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
That's why your body's like
not
that.
Not bad to be a college athlete, Sylvie. That's the way to go
I've
learned.
It is so good.
Mark Silverman is with us, Sylvie, from Waddle & Sylvie, ESPN 1000 in Chicago. They did a great job. Chicago did a great job with All-Star Weekend. Would you agree that Derrick Jones Jr. was the winner in the slam dunk contest?
All right, I have multiple levels of thoughts on the slam dunk competition. Because number one, my biggest thought was I thought Gordon won. That was me. But I didn't rage against anything because for 2 hours I was finally entertained by a slam dunk competition.
Yes.
And we thought this was like Fonzie jumping the shark. We thought it jumped the shark years ago. And here you had two guys who were studs. And what I love about Jones is the authority. He reminds me of Dominique with the way he flushes the dunks, you know? It's never like rattles around. He puts it down with power for as skinny as he is. And I thought there were so many damn good dunks that he made. And the other problem I had with Jones Jr. and the lack of love that he got was because I was mad at the people in the building because they were upset that Gordon didn't win. As Jones was hoisting the trophy, no one was cheering for him. And even though I still thought Gordon won, I'm like, let's show this guy some love because he's the second part of the reason why the dunk contest was so good. So I'm not raging. I mean, it's not the Olympics. This wasn't Roy Jones losing in the Olympics in boxing. This was a dunk contest, and I was entertained for 2 hours.
And Sylvie with the skills challenge. Did Bam Adebayo, did he make his name national? Does everybody know who Bam is after what he did this weekend?
I think so. And I'll tell you this, Crowder, that we in Chicago, we're so down on our Bulls. We've been that way forever. I used to come on with you guys with Wade when Wade was here, and you guys never understood why I said, well, you know, he's not universally loved. Because people didn't like the direction they took to just be a 500 team with Dwayne Wade. And it sort of it stalled our rebuild plans. And the one thing that Chicagoans notice, or the smart Chicago sports fans here, is while nobody was here to represent Chicago except Zach LaVine miscast in the three-point contest instead of dunking, was that even without Jimmy, take Jimmy out of the equation, that here you see all these young guys in Heat uniforms who can play and who have different skills, and Bam being one of them. And it's just jealousy that Riley and Spoelstra continue to get it done with getting players, developing guys, and it's something that just we can't do here.
Sylvie is with us from Waddle and Sylvie, ESPN 1000 in Chicago. Jimmy Butler got a nice ovation. Chicago loves Jimmy Butler.
I think Chicago likes Jimmy Butler. My plan was always to do the rebuild with Jimmy and the kids, sort of like what they're doing in Miami. I never knew if Jimmy was going to be a one. Is he a true one? And he's showing a lot of people that, yeah, he is. But he's definitely a 1A. But I wanted to see who could play with Jimmy and who couldn't. And they elected to trade him. And they got LaVine. They got Markin. And it didn't look like a bad trade for the Bulls at the time. But Markkanen hasn't developed, but you know, Jimmy, you know, I've told you about Jimmy Diva, and there are times that Jimmy will do the Jimmy Hollywood thing, but there's nobody in the league who is as self-made as Jimmy Butler. I mean, he was a 7 minute per game guy when he first came into the league. He was a defensive stopper out of Marquette, the end of the first round. And that guy, nobody outworks Jimmy. And it's part of it, you know, like on job interviews, they always say, hey, what's your weakness? And people always spin their positive into a weakness. And they go, well, my weakness is I try too hard, or I work too hard. You know, that's the easy way out. But that is with Jimmy. And, you know, I think Jimmy sometimes doesn't understand when guys don't work as hard as he does. But from everything I've read about Jimmy and in Miami, that's the way the Heat do things. That's the way Spoelstra and Pat Riley, of course, have always done things. And it's a perfect fit in Miami.
And, Sylvie, I had a problem this weekend because I was confused. Everybody was saying, Chicago, we're here, the mecca of basketball, the mecca of basketball. But everybody in New York, they say Madison Square Garden is the mecca of basketball. Where's the mecca of basketball, Sylvie? I'm so confused about what that
right.
is. Where is the mecca of the game of basketball?
Now, I think this is a nuanced conversation because I think the mecca of arenas is Madison Square Garden. It's, you know, center court in the largest city to play in MSG, even though it's sort of dumpy, is still cool. But I think for guys who came up, I mean, and you had a lot of our guys in Miami, Dwayne Wade and Hardaway. How great was Hardaway for the Heat? And it's just the player that grows up in Chicago, it's sort of, to me, it's like Florida high school football. And high school basketball matters here. And that there's a, like, there's so many different skills, Crowder, that people learned in Chicago. The old adage is that it's so, you know, they call it the Windy City for a number of different reasons. But one of the reasons is it's truly windy. And so in the summer, when it does finally get warm, we still have wind gusts of 15 to 20 miles an hour. So your shot from 22 feet is going to get blown a different way. So you got to learn how to defend. You got to learn how to dish. You got to learn how to drive to the hoop, because if you're just camped outside and shooting from outside on the Chicago playground, there's a wind factor that you're dealing with. So I think the well-rounded nature that Chicago basketball players have learned from a young age on the playgrounds through high school hoops, it matters. And nobody in Miami can second guess that because of the way you guys benefited.
Look at that.
Look,
Sylvie,
at that.
Laying down the law right there.
I like it.
I will tell you, here's the one thing that jumped out at me from All-Star Weekend, and I thought the rich history of Chicago basketball was celebrated in such a great fashion. I loved every bit of it. I thought, and I know he's not born and raised in Chicago, but I thought there was very little MJ. I was surprised at how little Michael Jordan was involved in the weekend. Did you notice that?
Yes. I mean, it's you sort of have to sugarcoat it a little bit, because, you know, any bad mouthing of Michael here is a big deal. So just to give you context, I grew up here. I'm a lifelong Chicagoan. The only time I've ever lived outside of here was 18 months on my first job in a small town in Iowa. But I grew up with Bulls season tickets before Michael, so we weren't like bandwagon jumpers. I grew up going to the Chicago Stadium in the 70s. So I got to see the first three Bulls championships as a fan with season tickets. Then when I got to Chicago as a reporter, I covered the last three championships as a reporter and covered Michael every step of the way. So no one will defend Michael more. But there was no reason why Michael Jordan should not have been there. The statues in front of the building, it's the building that he built in the middle of them winning championships. The last time the All-Star game was here, he won the dunk contest against Dominique. He was the MVP winner in the 88 All-Star game. It was basically the time he got the torch passed him from Magic and Bird. And here he is, should be center court, where Kobe idolized this guy in Chicago. He should have been the one with the microphone. Now, he's got his reasons. I don't know what they are. But it's not like he's a hermit who's not involved in basketball. He's one of 30 owners. To me, Michael Jordan should have been more involved this weekend.
And, Sylvie, but you brought up Kobe, too, and me and Hawk talked about it last segment, where was it strategic? Like, this was Kobe's All-Star weekend. They named the trophy after him, the All-Star MVP trophy. Like, this was Kobe's weekend. Did MJ not want to overshadow that?
I that's the one thing that if Michael were to sit across from me and say, look, if it's me center court, everyone's just cheering my return in that moment. And Michael's back. He doesn't come back often. I get it. I'd understand that. But I think people would understand that he's there for Kobe. And I just think that even though Magic was a Laker, Kobe's a Michael clone. Michael and Kobe have both stated that he's like a little brother to Michael. And I just felt that it would have been great for the league and great for the tribute if Michael was there in some way.
Yeah, that was the one part where I was like, wow, like there's a glaring omission here with all the history of basketball of Chicago. And I really did think that he was going to surprise the crowd at some point and walk out and talk about Kobe.
Yeah,
it just didn't happen.
You know what's weird is, like, think about Dwayne Wade and all the times we've cheered against Dwayne Wade in a Heat uniform. And think about Isaiah Thomas, and even though he's from Chicago too, like Wade, how many times we booed him as a Piston. They were way more prevalent all weekend as Chicago natives than, like, the biggest hero ever in this town who just shows up for his Nike corporate event and flies out of town.
Yeah, weird. That was the weirdest thing. But anyway, you guys did a great job, and I think a lot of people who may not have realized the rich history of Chicago basketball certainly know it after this weekend. So, and I
feelings mutual. You guys did a great job in the Super Bowl, and love talking to you guys as always.
But you were wildly incorrect though on your take that Derrick Jones Jr. did not win the slam dunk contest.
You thought it was that obvious that
obvious.
He won? Come on,
so obvious. Oh, I mean,
Homer.
Aaron Gordon sat on Taco Fall's shoulders to play a game of chicken in a swimming pool. It didn't even come close to clearing it. I mean, that is me arguing as I trip into a hurdle with my chest that I hurdled it because I ended up on the other side.
Well, maybe Jones Jr. can bring out Mini-Me instead of Chance and get the shorter, continue to
but
get
he jumped over Bam! Just, he jumped well, over Bam!
He still got over Taco, who's 7'5". I mean,
no, he didn't. No, no, he did not. If somebody puts their hand out, like you cup your hands so you help your fellow prison escapee over the wall. Did I hurl the wall, or did someone help me get over the wall? Taco Fall probably needs traction after that slam dunk contest more than anything.
Now you're comparing the dunk contest to a prison breakout.
I'm just telling
you.
Looked like he. Correct me if I'm wrong. Aaron Gordon, if he does not use his arms to launch himself off of Taco Fall, ends up bouncing off him backwards.
I think you're just a hater.
I think I got you there.
I think Taco Fall might have got pregnant.
He did. It's very possible that he penetrated him. He came closer to penetrating him than hurdling him.
That is not a good Taco Tuesday either. Not what you're looking for.
All right, we'll see you, Sylvie.
All right, guys, good talking.
Mark Silverman, Sylvie from Waddle and Sylvie, ESPN 1000 in Chicago. I own that statement. He came closer to penetrating him than hurdling him.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.